Hello, my name is Sam Breakgear and welcome to The Loudspeaker, your PR and marketing podcast from Publicize, specialists in PR and digital communications. Here, you will learn how to build an effective communication and growth strategy for your business with advice from a variety of experts.
Plan ahead and mitigate the damage.
People started following me because of that.
That's one of the main ways I've gotten us in the big name publications.
You need to write it as if it's an email going from you to a friend.
You can kind of maximize your ad dollars there.
With this show, alongside our free online resources, you will learn how to take the right steps so your business will gain more recognition online, convert more leads to sales, and build greater trust among prospects, clients, and investors. Today we are joined by our own in-house content writer here at Publicize, Elena Deutsch. She joins us to explore the topic of content writing. On today's show, you will learn what your goal for writing content should be, important things to consider before you set out to write content, and best SEO practices. We also go over the worst mistakes people make when starting out with content writing. And finally, Elena shares with us some useful resources and recommendations to help you come up with ideas for content writing. I also want to add that this will be our last episode of The Loudspeaker for the foreseeable future, as we will be taking a break. I will be going back to host Brains Bite Back for the publication The Sociable. It's a podcast that focuses on the intersection between psychology and technology. We cover a wide variety of topics, from the psychology that influences Bitcoin's price to the rise of ayahuasca in modern society and everything in between. So come check it out. You can find it wherever you get your podcasts, including YouTube. That's Brains Bite Back, and that's Bite with a Y, just like gigabytes. Anyway, on with today's show.
Okay, so my name is Lena. I'm a writer at Publicize. And actually, in my background, I studied a lot of politics, political science, business administration, and I always thought I would end up in the same area. But this year I started as a writer at Publicize. And since I started, I learned a lot. And I also realized that this is my real passion, writing content for startups, for companies that want to thrive and showcase their products.
Fantastic. Well, I'm glad you're following your passion and it seems to be working out, because obviously we work together here at Publicize and I know you're doing a lot of great things for the company. And I have you on the show today to really talk about the stuff you're working on and to impart your knowledge on our audience. And I want to kick off the show with my first question, which essentially is, what is content writing? What does it consist of, and why is it important for businesses?
Okay, so content writing is basically anything that we write online to promote an idea, maybe a page, a service, or a person. And definitely, content writing usually helps us to fulfill our marketing goals. So if we look at the sales funnel and we're at the top of the sales funnel, we use, for example, blog posts or social media posts to gain awareness among our customers and attract leads. And then if we go further down the sales funnel, we use email marketing, white papers, case studies, and all of this like changes or influences the evaluation stage of and the purchase decision of the customers. So it's a great tool to increase advocacy and to use it to fulfill your marketing goals.
Awesome. Now, you mentioned a number of different kind of shapes that this form of content writing can take, and I'm pretty sure they all have different goals, but I would love to understand, maybe if you could break them down for us, like what should be the goal of writing content? And for example, like when someone sets out to write a piece of content for their site, what should they be? And like you mentioned, there's different types. So maybe if you just want to give some examples of the types and what their goals should be.
Okay, so basically I think for all of these types, the same goal is that you want to do successful content writing. And this successful content writing actually is the right balance between giving added value to your reader so that the reader goes out of the piece and thinks like, okay, I've learned something. But you also want to promote your idea, because if you would just give information, your customer wouldn't really make the connection to your product or the service you're trying to promote. And I also think it's very important to give in some new information so that people, as I said, have added value and learn something that they didn't know before. There's a very good analogy what great content marketing is, and I think it fits really well. It's content marketing is like a first date. If you only talk about yourself, there won't be a second one. So I think it's very true because a lot of companies tend to speak a lot about their products. They're trying to sell their products to the customer, but the customer is actually interested in getting to know your brand, getting to know your vision, and also understanding what they will have by using your product in the end.
I love that analogy. I've actually heard a similar analogy being described to highlight the differences between advertising and PR, but I've never really heard it in this case before, but what you're saying makes absolute sense. And one thing that's always been mentioned on this show by almost every guest that I've had, whenever it comes down to content, it's the same principle. It is to add value to the person that is consuming your content, or for the person that's consuming your content, while also sprinkling in a little bit about your business, what you're doing, and kind of encouraging that desire to learn more about your company. But definitely the value is the most important component that I've seen when it comes to making content, and obviously written content is so different. My next question for you, what are some of the worst mistakes people make when starting out with content writing?
So I think a very bad mistake that you can do is that you don't know your audience. Like, the first thing that you always have to check is, who am I writing for? Who do I want to attract with my content? So your target audience, let's say, for example, I have a company that does marketing automation. So I need to check, depending on the size and where I may be based as a company, I want to attract different kind of people. Usually it would be marketing teams, business leaders, basically anyone selling something on the internet. But now I have to ask myself, what type of business or what type of marketing person do I actually want to attract? So if I'm, for example, interested in local shops that want some tips to grow their business, or do I want to attract restaurants, or am I more like, let's say, a bigger company with a software that can be relevant for industry leaders or large corporations, the content will change a lot. Let's say, for example, I want to do some tips on marketing. If I'm a marketing professional and have a lot of experience, I won't be attracted by reading a blog about free beginner marketing tips. But a local restaurant owner that has just like opened their business, is using like web pages to attract clients, would love to read how to do like very marketing for beginners. And I think another mistake that a lot of businesses do is that they don't really try to add value to the audience, but they focus on promoting their own idea. So not long ago, I actually read a blog on a company's website that does marketing automation as well. And they were treating their blog like a flyer placed in Times Square, and they were really trying to oversell their product. I mean, you see things like, the best way to optimize your marketing is our product. And the company doesn't use any data or reference or other information that would allow them to make the statement. And I think that's one of the biggest mistakes that you can actually do. And there are even some metrics that say, for example, that 70% of the people want to get information about a company and they want to learn something, and they don't like to see traditional advertisement, and they also won't buy something if they only see traditional advertisement. And as we already said, the reason is because people actually want to build a relationship. They want to have confidence and trust, and they want to know that if they come to you, they actually receive something, and not just you trying to really sell your product and trying to grow your own sales, but your interest in your company like lies within satisfying the customer and not like making your sales bigger. So actually I have an example for this. So let's say you're a buy now, pay later solution, and you're trying to sell your product over blogs, then I think it's, for example, a very good idea to explain the advantages and disadvantages of different payment options, or explain in a how-to guide how you can implement the BNPL software easily. This gives real value to your audience and will also attract the right people to your webpage. And then I think another very interesting thing that I have often seen is that people take the storytelling element to literal. So it's very important to tell a story. And I think almost everyone has ever heard that telling a story is like one of the most powerful ways of doing marketing or content writing. But telling a story doesn't really mean that you have to keep on and like try to tell a story about anything. What I mean with this is, for example, if you ever searched for a recipe and you were looking on a page and you wanted to find out like how to cook a certain kind of food, and then you have been reading like pages over pages of the people's personal life, maybe complaining about the last few days, complaining about something that happened to the person, I think this is a really unsatisfying experience for me, because I'm actually looking for a recipe. I want to cook something, and I might be interested in background of the recipe to understand the origin, maybe some tips how to cook the recipe, but I don't want to read, like, let's say 500 words of a person's personal experience. So what I want to say with this is that storytelling doesn't mean you tell people a story about anything, but you use the power of storytelling to show your topic to the people that you want to show them to your readers. And there's a very simple way in marketing to plot a story, and it's called the PIS formula. And it's basically P for problem or pain, A for agitate, and S for solution. And it basically means that you write a statement or an analysis of a problem or a pain. Then you build an emotional connection with the reader, explaining the problem further, in that sense, agitating. And then you lay down the solution on their plate. And this is like kind of the formula to tell a story. Let me explain the PIS formula for you in a way that you could put it on your website if you want to market a recipe. So I've pre-written this, and I'm going to read it to you, how I would start a story. It's difficult to revisit and cook an authentic recipe you have eaten on a travel journey. We often can't find the right ingredients, necessary kitchen equipment is lacking, or we need to make adjustments because of dietary restrictions. That's why this recipe food blog is presenting you with a step-by-step guide for recipes for cooking global deliciousies at home. We are indicating personalizable variations and substitute ingredients for everyone. Let's cook together and dive into the world's culinary wonders. So as you can see, I'm trying to build a connection with people who have been traveling, who have made the same experience. So we went somewhere, we ate something that was really amazing. Then we came home, we wanted to show it to our family, and basically the taste was like trash. So I'm building this connection, and then I'm coming up with the solution, saying that if you follow these recipes, you actually will be able to have an authentic food experience with your family, even at home. I think the last mistake I want to mention is that a lot of businesses don't really try to find evidence. Let's say in your experience, your product has helped many customers to solve their problems. It's very important that you find proof for this. So you use statistics, maybe some anecdotal evidence, or you have even testimonials from your clients, because this will gain your confidence and also authority to actually praise your product. You can even match statistics. So if customers are going for a satisfying customer experience, and statistics say, for example, that this makes customers twice as likely to buy a product, and then we have a different statistic saying that a live chat, for example, leads to 60% higher satisfaction rates than chatbots, then you can make a case why your live chat solution can help businesses drive more sales.
Build a robust communication strategy for your business using Publicize's digital resources. From toolkits to templates, our resources are available to everyone and anyone, just like this podcast. To scale and grow your business today, visit our guides at publicize.co/guides, and be sure to follow The Loudspeaker wherever you get your podcasts, including YouTube. I think those are all good points you make. And the one that really stuck out for me was the example of someone giving a backstory when really you just want to jump to the information. I think my domain being podcasting, I can completely understand that. The amount of times that I start a podcast hoping to listen to something or get some information, and it starts off with, like, I'm 5 minutes in and I still don't have any knowledge about why I initially clicked on the podcast to discover things about. Instead, it's just someone just rambling on. That is a fantastic way of me just like switching off and blocking that podcast from any future subscriptions or anything like that. So I completely understand what you're saying there, and I love the other examples you gave. Now I do have another question for you, and you have mentioned it to some extent already in this podcast, but I'd like to know, like, what are the different styles and formats that content can be presented in?
So I think let me talk about three things that are very common. So one is social media, one are blogs, and one are, for example, ebooks and case studies, because I guess they all have a very different intention. Social media is at the top of the sales funnel, as I already said, and it's for getting awareness, building trust with your audience, finding more clients. But your intention is less to actually sell your product, but rather to build an emotional connection with your readers. So on social media, it's important to be snappy, to maybe be funny, to use analogies, to work with visual language and imagery, because this is what attracts people to actually stop while they're scrolling, for example, through their Instagram or LinkedIn feed and look at your content. If you're putting a lot of information and it's like full of very technical writing or let's say of very promotional content, then you won't gain the attention that you actually want to gain, because people on social media are not there to buy things. They're on social media because they want to read news, because they want to be entertained, they want to maybe read a joke or just think about a beautiful picture that they just saw. So I think on social media the most important thing really is to be short and entertaining and maybe like provocative in the way of how you're asking questions or like getting some conversation going on your social media accounts, like simply asking people about their opinions and then commenting on it. Like the second one is blogs. I think on blogs is still on the top of the sales funnel, but it goes a little bit further, because on the one hand you're attracting people to visit your website, but you might also actually promote already your product in a very direct way, because you're saying your product is a solution to a pain that a person has. And there you can, as I said, you can get more explanatory, you can discover like different types of contents, you can use how-to guides that explain your product or different types of products, and then you kind of like show that your product is better, but not by saying it is better, but rather by actually saying this is the advantage of using my product. So when you're writing a blog, you can definitely dig a little bit deeper than when you do with social media. One thing about blogs, social media, for example, is very conversational. But one thing about blogs that I often read is that they're getting too conversational. We still should be aware that readers can lose the interest if there are too many filler words and connection sentences. So blogs are really there to inform somebody. And it's really important that the people that read the blog are able to grasp and understand the relevant content and make a conclusion for themselves. So here I have a resource that you can use. There's like from Smart Blogger, we have a list of filler words and exactly tells you which useless filler words you can delete. And this will make your content a lot snappier and also improve the information that it contains. And then let's go to the, like a little bit down the sales funnel, to ebooks and case studies. So here you already have an interest of a customer. The customer already wants to learn exactly what is your product, what is the solution, maybe what have others experienced with the product or service that you're offering. So you need to go really deeply into explaining the processes. In a case study, for example, what was the actual value to the client that was added? How did the customer that used the product experience the communication, for example, with your company? So you can get really into your own product and compare it maybe with other products. And it's not about like being funny or entertaining, but to actually add the value that the person understands. If I use this service or product, this is what I will gain.
You're right in the sense that there's a need for showing your customers what you do rather than just telling them, because it's so simple for people, just like you said, to say our product enhances this but like this, or they just like, I don't know, inflate it without actually backing up with any figures. So I can understand that. Now I want to discuss something that we haven't touched upon so far, and I'd love to get your advice for best SEO practices when it comes to content writing.
Okay, that's actually a very interesting topic, I have to say. Because SEO, it seems like a lot of companies and business owners hear the word SEO and they believe if they optimize their content for Google or any other search engine, that they will automatically gain a lot of customers and like increase their sales. But I think what they really should understand is that SEO, or the way Google works, or like the algorithm of Google works, is to find relevant content for a search query. So actually for the human intention and the human interest and not for the Google algorithm. It's rather like the Google algorithm is really trying to copy the human attention and interest, and it's getting closer every day. So I think what we should understand is that we can use a lot of keywords and like put them into our titles. And for SEO practices, it might be optimized, but the content might be of poor quality because it doesn't add any value. It doesn't answer the question of the query of the person that was looking for it. So we really shouldn't do this mistake and think that SEO alone will improve my marketing measures in that sense, my content writing. And I think that's a very interesting quote that I have read a few weeks ago that's saying content is the reason why search began in the first place. And I disagree with this. I believe that search, Google search, is the reason why content began in the first place. So people were asking questions and then Google was there to answer these questions. So when you're doing your research and you try to hit your target keywords, I think you really need to understand that the keywords are what people are searching for and not what Google wants to rank high up on their rankings.
I really like that perspective. And I like that example that you gave. I've never really thought about it. It's like a chicken and egg situation. But I'm glad you have a perspective and it makes sense. And thank you for sharing that with us. Now, I just have one last question for you, and I'd love to know, what are some resources and recommendations that you have to help our listeners come up with ideas?
Okay, if you want to come up with ideas, I mean, we already touched on the topic of SEO. You can always do research on keywords and on search queries of people and think, okay, if a lot of people are looking, for example, for the 7 best marketing tips, I can also write about them and I can give them a little bit updated information saying like the 7 best marketing tips during holiday season or the 5 best marketing tips for restaurant owners. So I guess keyword research is very important. And if you want to use tools for keyword research, you can, like we at Publicize, for example, we work with SEMrush Pro. So we have a pro account and we can do a lot of good stuff with SEMrush, like optimizing for keywords, find keyword related questions, generate new topics, but not everybody will be able to afford a premium tool. Sometimes it's also just sufficient to try Google search autocomplete. So for example, if I just Google content writing, I will automatically see it suggests me content writing examples, content writing for beginners, or content writing tips. And I know this is what people actually want to know when they enter content writing Google. And then I think there's another tip that is less on like using tools or anything or going online, but it's something that is very underestimated, is you should play with your team's resources and just do some active brainstorming. You can quickly find up, like you can quickly come up with new outside of the box ideas related to your problems and the solution you offer when you just ask your team. And don't ask the team that works in content marketing, because that's what they're doing all day long, but ask somebody who works in finance or administration, because they might have a very different perspective and they may be more similar to the perspective of somebody like looking for your content than your marketing expert.
I like that final idea. I think maybe for podcasts, I should do that and Publicize, just talk to different departments and get a feel for what interests them the most. Obviously the loudspeaker will be coming to an end shortly, but I think if we pick it up again, then that's definitely an idea that I will implement. But otherwise, those are all my questions. Elena, I just want to say thank you for joining me today. If people do want to reach out to you or keep up with the work that you are doing, is there social media or LinkedIn that you can point them towards?
You can definitely find me on LinkedIn. My full name is Helene Dutch. And as you already know, I'm a worker at Publicize, so you can find me via the Publicize page. And yeah.
Awesome. Excellent. Thank you for joining me today, Elena.
Thank you for having me as a guest. I really enjoyed it.
We hope you enjoyed today's episode, and make sure you follow us wherever you get your podcast to stay up to date with the latest PR and digital communications trends. You can also find numerous videos on our YouTube channel where we break down complex topics and the best tips to help you scale and grow your business. If you're ready to take your PR and digital communications to the next level, book a call with one of our growth consultants today. And that's not all. Exclusively for the loudspeaker listeners, receive an SEO assessment as part of your package for any tier of service at no extra charge. Just go to publicize.co/lspromo to book your call. Thanks for joining us. and we look forward to having you here again soon.